It's Willie and D-Mace, the final hour of the show today. Talked a lot of Titans so far in the show. Padded practice this morning. We've hashed it all out. We're going to move in a different direction here. And as we promised you earlier, Austin Meeks is going to join us. He covers the University of Michigan college football for The Athletic. Today, Jim Harbaugh received a four-year show cause order, including a one-season suspension. So in some worlds, that would be a major punishment for a coach. But, of course, as we know, Jim Harbaugh has just jumped ship and he's coaching the Chargers.
Exactly.
So I don't think it ruined his breakfast when he got this. But let's get the insight from Austin Meek, who's been watching this story closely. And yesterday it came out that the draft of the violations, the findings of the NCAA committee, have also come forth. Some details are important there. So, Austin, first of all, thanks for the time. Thanks for coming on our show.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so in the gist of this, you've been writing, I'm sure, all morning in the wake of this. What does this mean? Because from afar, we're sitting here going, what really does this do? Because Jim Harbaugh he's got the golden parachute. He goes out, he won his championship, and now he's left everybody else holding the bag.
Yeah, to Jim Harbaugh, it means less than nothing, I would imagine. It means he can't come back and coach college football again in the foreseeable future, but he has no intention of doing that. So it really means nothing. What came out today was specific to Jim Harbaugh and not to Michigan. So there's no penalties for Michigan in what came out today. Michigan already took its medicine with the recruiting violations case. Michigan's on 3 years of probation and will have some recruiting restrictions that Sharon Moore will have to deal with in that case. The penalties in the other case, the Connor Stallions case, have not been determined yet, so potentially there could be more fallout for Michigan there. But really today, this is just the NCAA closing the book on one case involving Jim Harbaugh and giving him these penalties that have no bearing on him now that he's no longer in college football.
I think what's important, too, at least to me, is in the context of everything, and it's quite spectacular, all of the discourse about Connor Stallions and what he did, that's one that always on a show like ours gets a lot of debate. But in the backdrop is, as you just pointed out, Michigan was already on probation when that stuff started to happen. So how do you think all of that sort of lines up as the NCAA moves forward with the findings here?
Yeah, the COVID-19 recruiting violations case was still open when the other case, the Connor Stallions case, blew up and became one of the big stories of the college football season. And so the COVID-19 case was resolved on Michigan's end in April after Jim Harbaugh left. And so I think that potentially for Michigan, they could have problems, more problems related to the Connor Stallions case, because they already are on probation now. What that means, I don't think that we know yet. We have heard about the allegations that the NCAA spelled out in a draft that they sent to Michigan on Sunday, including level one allegation for Jim Harbaugh, level one allegation for Connor Stallions, level two allegation for Sharon Moore for allegedly deleting some text messages with Connor Stallions. So, look, it all fits together in a pattern. The fact that for the last few years at Michigan, there were a lot of rules being broken, allegedly in some cases, and some of them now have been established by the NCAA. And Michigan's going to have to pay the price for that. I don't think it will be a matter of vacating games and certainly not vacating the national championship. But I think beyond that, we don't know. Could it be recruiting restrictions, a fine? Absolutely. The big question for Michigan is, can they get out of this while avoiding a postseason ban? That would certainly be the hope. The NCAA has moved away from doing that, punishments that penalize players who weren't any part of these violations. But basically, Jim Harbaugh left Michigan with a mess to figure out. They're in the middle of that right now, and there's still more that has to be sorted out.
We're talking with Austin Meek of The Athletic, talking University of Michigan. I hate to say that name, but it is what it is. But Austin, what does this mean for, one, Connor Stallion, because he's a young GA, and I know he wants to become a coach someday. But what does this do for his future? And then also you mentioned Sharon Moore, the head coach at Michigan. What does this do for his future? And did it affect recruiting any that you noticed?
You know, Michigan's recruiting class last year was pretty good. The class they had the year before that was a little down by their standards. But I really haven't seen a big impact on recruiting in Michigan's class for 2025. They started slow, and the time around when Jim Harbaugh left, they didn't seem to have a lot of momentum in recruiting. But then over the summer, they started to get some commitments, and that class has since climbed up into the top 15. So I really haven't seen right now any measurable effects on Michigan's recruiting from all of this. For Sharon Moore, I think it means that he's going into his head coaching career at Michigan with a cloud over his head, but not anything that I think is going to necessarily impact him long term. Could there be a suspension at some point for Sharon Moore based on the allegations that we know about right now? I think that's a possibility, but he's just getting started at Michigan, and I think he's going to have every opportunity to put this in the past and to chart his own path at Michigan. Connor Stallions, I'm going to be surprised if we see Connor Stallions on the sideline anywhere unless he's got the goatee and the glasses on.
He might need to improve his disguise.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a little more high profile now.
Now, of these leveled sort of charges or these leveled, you know, penalties that they have, and this may be a dumb question, but, you know, there's a level one, level two. Which one is more egregious? Is it going from top to bottom, or is it going from the bottom to the top? Meaning,
level one is the more severe. Mm-hmm. So that's why we saw with Sharon Moore, he only had a level two charge, which is still, you know, a serious charge, but not the highest charge that you could get. Which to me said that whatever was in those text messages with Connor Stallions, probably no smoking gun in there for Sharon Moore if he only had a level two charge in that draft of the allegations. But yeah, level one is the most severe that you can get.
Now, now that things are starting to come out and you're getting text messages, and now Connor Stallion is sort of, they've dismissed him and, you know, don't know where he's at now. Do you think this was a joint effort by Michigan and Harbaugh to say, hey, listen, take the job in the NFL? We need to get you away from the university because the longer you're here, the more attention and bad attention you're drawing to the university.
You know, I think that Michigan and Jim Harbaugh were still engaged, at least to some degree, mm-hmm. in trying to figure out a way forward up until the time that he took the Chargers job. It was widely assumed that he would leave Michigan after the national championship game, in large part because of these NCAA allegations and the fact that he likely would have been looking at more suspension sanctions, more NCAA punishment in the future if he had stayed in college football. And looking at this now, it seems pretty obvious that, well, of course he was going to leave. He was not going to stick around and deal with this fallout from the NCAA. But, you know, even in the midst of all this, Michigan stood by Jim Harbaugh through a lot. They stood by him through everything that was going on last year. He was suspended twice last year. Michigan still went 15-0 and won the national championship. And there are still people who wanted Jim Harbaugh to come back, even with all of these headaches, because he wins. You know, that's the bottom line. Like, yeah, it's headaches every single day with Jim Harbaugh. And it was always something at Michigan, always drama, always friction. But he won the last 3 years. Michigan was 40-3. A lot of programs would sign up to take that and whatever else comes with it.
Now, do you think that because there wasn't a lot of blowback from coaches, now you had coaches saying things and obviously coaches turned things in, but it doesn't seem like it was this, you know, group of coaches or a mob of coaches really going in on Michigan and Harbaugh. You think that's the case because maybe they're doing it too, in a sense? Or they have done it?
You know, it was interesting when all of this came out during the season, and you heard a lot of coaches in the Big Ten, at least privately, you know, without coming out and saying it publicly. A few of them said it publicly too. Mm-hmm. You know, Ryan Walters at Purdue had some pretty strong comments publicly, but a lot of it was privately. Coaches really coming out strongly against what Michigan was doing. And there was a lot of pressure on the Big Ten from other coaches in the Big Ten that Jim Harbaugh needed to be punished for this. Now, I have a feeling there's probably some other programs that if they had the spotlight on them, you'd probably find a few things similar to what happened at Michigan, maybe not on the same scale. I think for Michigan, it was when it came out just how many games Michigan was scouting and just the scale of the operation that was alleged with Connor Stallions, I think was beyond what anybody realized and certainly outside the norm in college football. But I doubt that Michigan was on an island here. I doubt that this was just, you know, Connor Stallions was the first person in history who had the idea to do this. You know, I'm guessing it's probably happened before, but maybe just not on the scale that Michigan allegedly did it and not as brazenly as Michigan did it. You know, that was the thing. It seemed like Connor Stallions just took this to a whole other level that turned it into a really big scandal.
A blatant disregard for the rules, for sure. Austin Meek is with us from The Athletic, talking about the Michigan situation. Austin, let's wind the clock back to when they did have a chance, because what you hear all the time is, well, we don't want to punish the kids who had nothing to do with this for the upcoming season, when we all know that really that's the only punishment that has any teeth is a postseason ban. So let's wind the clock back to last year. Do you think they really considered a postseason ban last year? Because what have they really learned since then that they didn't already know back then?
Well, look, this is a problem with the way NCAA infractions cases work, and it's a big problem. These things take years. Look, these recruiting violations happened in 2021, and we are just now, today, in August 2024, getting a ruling about it. It takes years. Mm. And so how can you hand down penalties after a process that takes 3 years that are going to be relevant to the people who actually committed the violations? It's a problem. And I think part of why there was so much pressure on the Big Ten last year to step in and punish Michigan and punish Jim Harbaugh was because the Big Ten wasn't bound by that. The Big Ten sportsmanship policy gives the commissioner a lot more latitude to act quickly, immediately, and punish people when there's evidence of wrongdoing, and that's what happened. Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, suspended Jim Harbaugh for 3 games because he had the ability to do that, and the NCAA didn't because their process takes so long. So I think the argument is, look, the only in-season punishment really that was possible for Michigan last year was going to come from the Big Ten, and it happened. The Big Ten suspended Jim Harbaugh for 3 games. Michigan won those 3 games anyway, and I think there was a sense that if Michigan was going to have to pay a price last year, that was it, and they figured out how to win. And so then at that point, the feeling was Michigan's championship was, it was won on the field, and nobody was going to be able to come and take it back.
Right. So let's now assess where they are now. Jim Harbaugh has escaped. You can punish him all you want. It doesn't really matter. He's got his title. You can do the vacated thing, which we know doesn't really carry a lot of weight in the public eye. Maybe there's a little bit of embarrassment, etc. So let's move forward. The only thing that would seriously have everybody going, okay, they did have to pay a price, would be a future postseason ban. Do you think that's in the cards here, especially knowing that they started this whole thing on probation to begin with?
I don't think it's off the table. I think you can look at other cases. Arizona State self-imposed a bowl ban in a year when they probably weren't going to go to a bowl anyway as a way of avoiding
that. I love that you said this, because I commented to some people. We were out all watching Titans practice kicking this around this morning.
Yeah,
it's so easy to hit the little guy, right? Exactly. I referenced Vanderbilt way back. They got busted for steroids in the 80s. You're like, Vanderbilt got busted? I don't even remember that. Because, no, you don't remember the little guys that aren't going to win anyway. It's easy to punish those guys.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the allegations at Arizona State were similar to the allegations at Michigan on the COVID-19 recruiting violations, although it seems like it was a much larger scale thing at Arizona State. But they ended up self-imposing a bowl ban based on just one infractions case related to violations of the COVID-19 dead period. So I don't think it's off the table. I wouldn't say definitively. There's no way Michigan gets a postseason ban in this case. I wonder if the NCAA has the ability to do that at this point, based on the fact, you know, the argument that, well, we don't want to punish players who were not part of this. You know, there may be a sense that, look, Jim Harbaugh has been punished for this. Michigan was punished for this, even if it didn't end up costing Michigan any games last year. Jim Harbaugh being suspended was a punishment. I agree with you. You know, there is a sense of like, you know, is Michigan just going to kind of skate on this with recruiting restrictions and a fine? And it doesn't necessarily feel like it matches up to the magnitude of what's been alleged here. I don't know how much authority and how much power the NCAA is going to have to really go for the jugular and get something more out of Michigan.
Now, don't you find it ironic, Austin? We're talking about Austin Meek of The Athletic. But don't you find it ironic that as they're coming up with their final sort of, you know, summary of what happened, they got this Netflix docuseries coming out with Connor Stallion? I just find that kind of odd. It's almost like, yeah, Mission, you can say what you want, but we're going to put y'all on blast here.
Well, I'm sure there were some people at Netflix who were really excited when the news broke about all of this NCAA stuff we've been talking about the last few days. It's perfect timing for them. It's great promotion for their documentary. I'm sure they're going to get a lot of people streaming that. Now, in terms of, is there anything that could come out in that documentary that would make things worse for Michigan or that Michigan needs to be worried about? I don't think so. I mean, we don't know what Connor Stallions is going to say. Seems like he's kind of a wild card in all this, but we do know that he loves Michigan. Everything he's done since this all broke has been to protect Michigan however he could. So I'd be surprised if Connor Stallions comes out and just airs a bunch of dirty laundry about Michigan. I'm guessing it's going to be more for him trying to protect his image or paint a sympathetic portrait of what he was trying to do. I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to be watching along with everybody. I think it's going to be really fascinating.
Well, we are fascinated as well. I do wonder if that is going to, you know, live up to the hype, so to speak, because we're all curious. Yeah. But as you said, he is a Michigan guy, and he has not cooperated with the investigation, right?
It's so good to have a friend like him.
so what is he going to say to this? I don't know. But Austin, thanks a lot for joining us today. And shedding some light on this thing. And best wishes for the season coming up here. We'll see what happens.
All right. Appreciate it.